Well, good afternoon. It's good to see somebody who came back and stuck it out. It's a warm day, isn't it? We're going to be picking up where I left off the last time I was here. Of course, you might have already forgotten that, but we're going to be dealing with the book of Romans, the first eight chapters. So today, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, because that's where we're going to be picking up. But we pointed out the gospel. And what we're doing in these four lessons, if we end up having four, I'm coming here a total of four times, whether I'll be doing this or something else you assigned to me. It doesn't matter to me. It's fine either way. We're going to deal with salvation as presented in the book of Romans. And we emphasized right from the very beginning, it says that he was just really excited about sharing the gospel with the saints in Rome. And, of course, the reason he was very excited about it is because it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that brings about reconciliation, which means we are brought into harmony with God. If God does not reconcile us to himself, there's no hope. There's nothing in ourselves that would ever bring us into reconciliation or harmony with God. And we pointed out that the gospel in the book of Romans, and in reality, is a series of four things. There's condemnation, justification, sanctification, and glorification. All those four things go together to deal with this great salvation that we have that reconciles us to God. And the order that I gave them is what is the order that's in the scripture here, and it's vital you follow that order. So the first thing we dealt with last time was condemnation, judgment. And we know that was not a very enjoyable half hour, 45 minutes. The fact is we must realize that we are under judgment before a holy and righteous God because we are not holy and righteous. We're not even close to being any of that in ourselves and never will be in ourselves. So until you understand that you are under condemnation or judgment before a holy and righteous God, you're probably not going to ever feel you need to be justified, declared righteous, which is what we're going to be dealing with today. And that's the way it is with a lot of people you share the gospel with. They know they're not perfect, but I don't think I'm all that bad. I think when it's all said and done, I'll come out all right. I'm not overly concerned about it. Well, they haven't understood. The truth of the matter is, if there's one sin in your life, you have no prayer whatsoever of going to heaven. Just one will keep you out. Sin and God cannot be together. And therefore, in your sin, you are under condemnation, God's judgment. And we're not going to go over that whole thing again. You heard it enough. But it's important you understand. Until I understand that I am a sinner and in God's eyes condemned to judgment because of my sin, I will never turn to him. So it's vital we let people know when we share the gospel, they need the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just not this wonderful, loving Savior. You need him, whether you realize it or not, because you are under condemnation. Now, they won't appreciate you much when you share that with them all the time, but they still have to understand that. Now, once that's done, we move into the second phase of salvation, and that's justification. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. And it starts with chapter 3, verse 21. It goes through chapter 5, verse 11. Now, don't worry. We're not going to exhaust all that material. We're just going to talk about basically what it says. And I hope you will go home on your own and read from chapter 3, 21 through 5. Through 11 to reinforce in yourself and spend more time with it. Again, this goes till 2:15. Am I right? 2 o'clock?
Or 2:20.
Okay. I know it's warm. We try not to go any longer. Okay. So what we're going to be doing today is looking at this topic of justification. So in Romans chapter 3, starting with verse 21, is where we're going to begin to look at various passages in between those areas. Now, I just want to begin by pointing out that justification occurs about 50 times in the book of Romans. That means it must be pretty important, about 50 times. And the meaning of it is to pronounce or declare righteous. To be pronounced or declared. It does not make you righteous. You will never be righteous, ever, in yourself. I've been saved for 60-some years, and I'm as unrighteous as I was before I was saved. I will never be righteous. So, justification doesn't mean that I am righteous. It means I have been declared to be righteous or pronounced. And who declares or pronounces that? God does. And of course, God will only do it if you have been justified, as we're going to look at today. When you are justified before a holy and righteous God, He declares you righteous in the righteousness of Christ. Okay? Be sure you understand that. Now, as you look at this aspect a little bit further, the believer is viewed in Christ. And I can't overemphasize that. You're viewed in Christ as being and treated by God as righteous. Now, justification, of course, is the opposite of condemnation. Justification is man's state in Christ as righteous. Condemnation is man's state apart from Christ. So you're one or the other today. You are either righteous in Christ, or if Christ is not in your life, you are still under condemnation. And as long as you stay like that, you never will be declared righteous. And that's why it's important to understand you are under condemnation. But praise God, there's a blessed hope for those of us who are under condemnation. And that is God has made provision for us to be declared righteous before a holy and righteous God. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, don't lose your place here. We haven't started here yet, but I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Just for basically two words. And if you don't want to turn to it, you can just listen to what I'm going to read. It's chapter 2, starting with verse 12. I'll start with verse 11. He's reminding the people at Ephesus now of this. Wherefore, verse 11, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, whom are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's sad. But now the next verse. But now, the two little words, but now, in Christ, ye who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Okay, it explains what you were at one point, but now, in Christ, things have changed. Now, the reason I wanted to read that little phrase, but now, we are also now going back to where we started from in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. It starts out, but now. Well, what does it refer to? Well, let's go back to verses 19 and 20. Now, we know that whatever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Now you just said, Bob, we're not going to talk about condemnation. Well, that's all we're going to say about it here. That's what he's telling us. But then it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then verse 21, But now, righteousness of God, apart from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, or through Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, that which satisfies God, through the faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that ye might be just and the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. Now in both of those passages, the little word but refers to what was before. The now refers to what you have in Jesus Christ. And you see, we have to be thankful that the but has been brought to our attention, what we were. But I praise God greatly for the little word now. Now is different. See, once you're justified, things change totally in your life, in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are three dominating themes related to justification. And we're going to look at those three things today. One is the ground of justification. It's God's grace. Then we're going to look at the means of justification. That'll be our faith. And then the third thing is the effect of justification, which is assurance of reconciliation, being brought into harmony with God. So let's focus first of all on the very heart of the Romans, and this the 21 through 26, which I read. And look at this particular passage, because it really is the very heart of the book of Romans. And this, you have it before you, so as I just kind of reiterate a summary of this, you'll be able to see it. You know, this particular passage is amazing for its fullness of thought. The righteousness referred to in verse 21 has its source in God. It is his righteousness that we're talking about. It is manifested. That is, it is revealed. For man could not have figured it out on their own. I don't know if you ever thought about that. What kind of plan of salvation would you have come up with? Well, it certainly wouldn't have been this. You would have never figured out on your own that only God could declare you righteous. You know, mankind all around the world is trying to reach God. You know, that's what religion is. Ceremonial services that go on all the time for the purpose of appeasing God, whoever he is. See, they understand they have a right to be afraid of God. So I'm going to do whatever I can, whatever I think is best, so I can appease him. Well, I have news for you. There's nothing you can do that will appease a holy and righteous God, because you are totally unholy in yourself. It is predicted. It is according to the law and the prophets. It's amazing how much of the Old Testament reveals the doctrine of justification that nobody's even aware of. It's amazing how the Jews who had the Old Testament prophets, very few ever could really see what justification was all about. And that's why what we talked about this morning with the law and the promise and so forth. We would have never been able to figure out. It is bestowed. It's justified freely by his grace. He bestows it. It is a gift that is costly. Costly to him, his redemption, work on Calvary's cross. It is atoning, because Christ shed his blood as a propitiation, that which would satisfy God. And we know that God is satisfied, because you know, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He then ascended back into glory, where he is now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And Mark's account of that says he sat himself down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Why? Because it's his rightful place. He is God. He had finished the work that he was sent to do. You see, it was very costly to him. And I mentioned that earlier in our lesson this morning. Also, it is effective and final, for it is the just God who justifies men. That is, God is just in justifying. It's done solely by his grace, as you place your faith and trust in the person and the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this is good news. This is much better news than we were talking about the last time we were together. So thus, Christ completely satisfied the just demands of a holy God for judgment on sin by his death on the cross. And that's why we can turn to Romans 8:1 and rejoice. There is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you have passed from death to life, from spiritual death to spiritual life. How did that happen? When you were placed in Christ Jesus. You were placed there in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, how we should praise God for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, which has appeared unto all men. In Romans chapter 3, starting with verse 27 through verse 25 of chapter 4, we have what we call the grounds of justification. Remember I said there were three different things. The grounds of justification, we'll look at that first. The means of justification we'll be looking at as well in a few moments. But the ground of justification is something we just have to rejoice in. Christ has completely satisfied the demands of a holy and righteous God. It's God's grace that enables us to be declared, pronounced righteous. Solely by grace. We have no part in it whatsoever. Okay? Now, the next thing I want to stress here is the aspect of the means of justification. And that's our faith. Now, I know faith is a very important word, obviously, because that appears about 64 times in the book of Romans. And you people hear about faith all the time. Well, you know, what is faith anyway? You know, we exercise it all the time. We exercise it every day. You'd be amazed how many times we do things based on faith. Just a couple of examples. I got in my car this morning because I had faith it would get me over here. If I thought for 1 minute it was going to break down halfway, I wouldn't have gotten into it. I didn't know what was going to happen. But, you know, it's just an act of faith. You came in today and you sat down on those pews. And you never thought anything about it. But you see, what you were doing is exercising faith in what? That it was going to hold you up. If you thought for 1 minute you would tip over and bust your head on the pew behind you, you wouldn't have sat down in it. Now, you didn't sit and analyze all that before you sat down, did you? You see, you just exercised faith that it was going to do that. We exercise faith all the time. In most things we do. We do them because we have faith that it's okay to do them without sitting and analyzing these things as we go along. And, of course, faith is so important in Scripture. Now, faith consists in three things, and you'll see about the examples I gave you. First of all, we're talking about faith in God, obviously, here. Well, it's having confidence in God, just like I had confidence in my car to get me here. I have confidence in God to give me justification. And, of course, that means confidence in His Word. And how do I show that? I show that being obedient to God and His Word. To obey the gospel in my walk with the Lord. I show I'm confident in God and His Word by obeying it. Then the second thing is assurance, trust, that what God has promised to do, He will do. All of you here, that means probably the youngest ones on up, know enough here, all right, about how to be right with God. You've been taught it. It's like I taught my boys from the time they were with us. They knew in no time that the Lord Jesus Christ was important in our lives. They knew that. Even as little tiny boys growing up, they knew these things. Now, they weren't sure of it at that time, trusting in it. But, of course, they should have seen it in our lives. And then there's reliance upon God's known character. We don't think too much about God's known character, except when we gather together and as we sit down and read the Scriptures. And in the course of a day, we do to a degree. But, you know, when I'm talking about God's character, I'm talking about His love, His mercy, His grace, His faithfulness, His unchangeableness, along with His holiness, His righteousness, His justice. You see, all of these things, we are justified by faith, declared righteous. You see, I have to rely, be assured, and confidence in God. That's what faith is. Now, having said that, I want to talk about saving faith. See, faith in my car is one thing. Faith in the chair over here is another thing. All right? I'm talking about saving faith. Do you have saving faith? What is faith again? Is faith, confidence, assurance, reliance upon God and His Word and what He has said that will make you able to be declared righteous before a holy and righteous God. Justified. Okay? Now, saving faith. It's that faith that brings salvation and results in justification. You will never be justified, declared righteous, until you have placed your faith, trust, confidence, and reliance upon the person and the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't say you know about it. I'm saying you're putting your trust and confidence assured that what is said about saving faith is true in your life. And, you know, as I talked about with people about saving faith, you know, people say, well, what is saving faith anyway? Well, I'm sure there's many different ways you could describe it, but for me, it really is made up of three elements. And I guess I like these because these are the elements that I experienced in my life that brought me to the point where I was declared righteous before a holy and righteous God. The first aspect of saving faith is intellect, knowledge. You know, I'm not talking about your IQ. Your IQ means absolutely nothing when it comes to salvation. Okay? You know, but, you know, people with the highest IQs are the highest ones, hardest ones to reach. I used to work with a lot of very intelligent people. But they weren't very wise. Because they didn't know how to apply truth. Okay? So, but you need knowledge. And that's why we have to witness and share the good news of Jesus Christ with people. It's amazing how many people have never really heard the gospel. They have been in church 50 years and never heard the gospel. They have to know. And the same with you. Now, I'm not too concerned about you people here. I don't care how young you are. I know that you have the knowledge. Now, maybe not total knowledge yet for some of the real small ones, but you're gaining the knowledge. You know up here what is necessary to accept and the Lord Jesus Christ and have salvation. But you see, that in itself is not enough. But just so you to make sure you do understand how important knowledge is. It says, so then faith, in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing knowledge, and hearing knowledge by the Word of God. So what knowledge do you need to have? Biblical knowledge. And don't be afraid to challenge your Sunday school teacher if you don't understand something. I used to teach Sunday school. They didn't always understand. Most kids would just sit there and do nothing, but every once in a while someone would say, hey, Bob, or Mr. Fultz, if they were younger, re-explain that. That doesn't make sense to me. You have to make sure you have knowledge, understanding of God's Word, because this is where it is revealed. In God's Word. All right? The next thing that you have to have, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gifts of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I could go on and read another 4, 5, 6 passages, which I have here, but I'm not going to. I'm just letting you know. The Bible lets you know. God's Word lets you know what is necessary for saving faith. You must have knowledge of the truth of God's Word. Now, that's nice, but it's not enough. I had that quite a bit before I was saved. The next thing that I've found to be absolutely necessary is feelings or emotions. Now, I know for some people, when you mention emotions, we don't want to talk about emotions. Well, the emotion here I'm talking about is the stirring of your heart. There has to be a time in your life when your heart is stirred from the knowledge you have gained. And of course, we always talk about the knowledge there. It's the working of the Spirit in your life convicting you. Have you ever felt convicted? I mean, truly felt convicted. That's an honest question. I had all kinds of knowledge before I was saved, but I had never been truly convicted. And of course, my heart was never stirred. I would say, oh yeah, that's right. This preacher's preaching the same thing the other guy preached last week. I knew they were preaching the right thing. And I could even recognize when they preached the wrong thing. But you see, I had never come to that point in my life where I was convicted. He dealt with me. And you see, this is so important, and that's a question I want to ask you people out here. Because I don't know all of your hearts. Feelings or emotions, a recognition that God's provision in Christ is for me. He's the answer for my sin problem. Yeah, it's nice to know that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's wonderful. But that's not going to save me. I'll be saved when I understand Jesus Christ came into the world to save me. Why did he have to save me? Because I was under condemnation. And I've learned from the knowledge that I gained that he has an answer for that. He can reconcile me to God. But I have to do it his way. And there has to be a time in my life where I recognize that. And I can tell you, the night that I was, my emotions were stirred, that I was literally sobbing. And I was not a sissy. I may look like one, but I wasn't one. Okay? And I was sobbing. Because I realized, Bob, he's talking to you. Not all these masses, there were masses there, but he's talking to me. And I can remember that. Oh, it was the most terrible feeling in one sense I have ever experienced. Now, not everybody has the same, but I'm just explaining how it happened to me. I knew at that moment, the Spirit of God was saying, Bob, you need to be reconciled before God. You're not. You know all about it. But you've never done anything about it. And I trust that all of you can, at some time in your life, if you truly have saving faith, there has got to be a time in your life where the knowledge that you knew and know to be true, you were convicted of the fact that it relates to me. And you, being convicted, turned to the Lord. And that turns to the third element of saving faith. And that's the act of the will. You see, I could have been convicted and sobbing and felt terrible and turned around and just left, going back home. Yeah, probably miserable. But go back home, yeah, in time. It probably would have wore off. The conviction. You know, Scripture makes it clear. Why did God, the Son, send the Holy Spirit into the world? He says, you know, it's important that I leave you. I'm sure the disciples didn't like hearing that. But he said, it's to your advantage. Because when the Spirit comes, he will convict you of sin. That you're a sinner. Of righteousness. You don't have any, but Jesus Christ is the righteous one. Of judgment, You're headed for judgment, but he bore your judgment. Okay? He's the one who convicts you of sin and righteousness and judgment. People can plead and beg, and sometimes people say, go through and say things because these people are putting so much pressure on them to say things. To say, well, you said all this stuff, and now you're saved. I remember being a counselor at a Bible camp, and I thank the world of Bible camps. I thank the Lord for Bible camps. I also understand there's a danger in Bible camps. Because I've had young boys who would come to me and say, Bob, I want to accept the Lord. So then you explain to them, and they go through the motions and they say it, but you know, I never saw them again. I have no idea if they ever really did. You see, you can give them the knowledge, they can say the words, but you know, if that conviction is not there, and they don't act upon that conviction, an act of the will, there's no salvation. That's what saving faith is. Be sure you have it. Be sure there is that time in your life that you placed your faith and trust in the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another thing I just want to mention, starting with Romans chapter 5. We talked about the ground of justification is God's grace. The means of justification is our faith. And of course, the effect of our justification is assurance of the righteous standing before God. Now in chapter 5, verse 1, just look at it very quickly. Therefore, having been justified, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11. Not that the others aren't important, you go home and read them. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. You see, it's saving faith that enables God to declare you righteous. See, once you truly put your faith and trust in Him, He declares you righteous. He pronounces you righteous. Now remember, you didn't become righteous. You're only righteous because God declared you righteous in and through your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. God sees my Savior. Then He sees me. It's in the Beloved One that I'm accepted and free, and no other reason at all. You see how important justification is? You want to be reconciled to God? Well, number one, you have to understand you stand under condemnation. That's step one. If you haven't come to the point where you really believe that you're going to be judged by a holy and righteous God for your sin, you'll never get to justification. You won't see any need to do that. But once you see that, and the Spirit of God convicts you of it, and you act upon it, and accept Him into your life, really become a part of your life, that's when it happens. And at that moment, you are justified forever. It can't be changed. Now, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, it says the moment you do, His divine nature is imparted to you. The Spirit of God indwells you immediately. And He will be there to be your comforter, your teacher, your guide, your earnest, your seal, until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. When is that day? It's the rapture. Once you're in Christ, you're always in Christ. Now, you may not feel like you're in Christ all the time. I can attest to that. You know, when you fall into sin, it hurts. But why does it hurt? Because the Spirit of God within you says, hey, Bob, that's wrong. You know it's wrong. Get on your knees before the Lord and confess your sin. I haven't lost my salvation, so I'm not praying for salvation all over again. I'm praying now I can get back into fellowship. You see, we read John, if you walk in the light, who is the light? The Lord is the light. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. I with him and him with me. But if there's sin in my life, that fellowship is broken. You know, I'm not going to be spending my time in the Lord's Word and in time in prayer because I feel guilty. You know, when you're a Christian and you sin, the last thing you want to do is start reading God's Word. You know what's going to happen. You're going to be convicted. I really have a hard time praying because, you know, it's tough to go into the Lord's presence who's holy and righteous, and I'm one of his children, and here I've just fallen into sin. I'm going to be convicted, and yet I still have to do it. See? So I can have fellowship with him and he with me. And, you know, we have to understand, you know, if you have true salvation, it says you will have peace with God. And I would just ask you, are you at total peace with God in your standing before a holy and righteous God? You know, condemnation is no longer a concern to me. I'm not worried about condemnation because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to be judged for my sin ever. That's already been paid for. Christ bore my sins, penalty, guilt, and the judgment I deserved. And you know, therefore, he's up there as my intercessor and advocate. And as Satan says, you know, Bob, did you just see what Bob did? Well, that's not becoming the one who loves you. His answer is, it's all taken care of. It's all taken care of. I died for that sin. You know, at one time, all of your sins were future. And you're still living, so you have a lot more coming, unfortunately. But they're all forgiven. Once in Christ, always in Christ. But you see, if the more time you spend in his word, and you spend in his presence and prayer time, and you just live in obedience to him and his word, and you fellowship with the Lord's people, life with Christ is a marvelous thing. Yeah, we fail once in a while. But I'll tell you, I don't enjoy any day more than like this morning. And now, here I am, the Lord's people. What a wonderful place to be. Why? Because the Lord is here. He's being lifted up. He's ministering to us, whether we realize it or not. He's speaking to us through his word. I don't know how he's speaking to each and every one of you, but he is. He's spoken to me today, even as I'm ministering. It's amazing. You know, we have to understand, we are saved once, we're saved for all. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the final thing I just want to mention is what a beautiful future we have. Once you've been justified, declared righteous, you have a bright future. It may not be down here. We don't know what is going to beset us or befall us. You know, you young people, sorry about this. I guess I have to keep it there. Keep your hands in your pocket, okay? But you young people have no idea what lies ahead for you. But don't worry about it. If Christ is in your life, he'll take care of you. He'll lead you and guide you and direct you, if you allow him to. There'll be ups and there'll be downs. But you know, no matter what, ultimately, we all have a fantastic future. Fantastic future. I couldn't help but think we often quote Paul who says, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for those who love him." And it just dawned on me this last week, you know, Paul had no idea himself what he was talking about. He had no idea what heaven was going to be like. He confessed to it right here. I don't know what it's going to be like. My dear mother used to question me as she was getting ready to go home to glory. And what's it going to be like, Bob, when I get to heaven? I can just say, I really can't tell you, Mom. All I know is it's going to be good. I can't tell you what's going to happen. She had all these questions. I couldn't answer them. But one thing we know for sure, those of us who are under judgment, once you accept Christ, saving faith in Him and His atoning work, judgment's gone. And all that lies ahead is a blessed future with the Lord. If you think these times around the Lord's table are precious, just wait till you get in His presence. Can't even imagine how wonderful that's going to be. Well, that's a little bit on justification. You know, how we should praise and thank God our Savior for revealing this tremendous truth of justification. Have you been declared righteous before a holy and righteous God? Only you know the answer to that. I'm sure the vast majority have. It's very possible there's many people here. There's a few that maybe have never gotten to that point where it became personal. And it has to. So if you've never been to that point, get on your knees, get into the Word, ask the Spirit of God to just really teach you the Scriptures, convict you of the sin in your life, and bring you to that point where you're ready to surrender your life, your will, your all to Christ. And the moment you do, He will justify you, declare you righteous. And just that quick, you are now reconciled with a holy and a righteous God because you're accepted in Christ. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for this brief time we've been able to spend in Your Word. We just pray, Lord, that the truth of Your Word will be driven home to our hearts today. We pray if there's anyone in this meeting who has never truly committed themselves to the person and the atoning work of Christ personally, that the Spirit of God may truly convict them, give them no rest until they realize their need to surrender their all and ask Christ to come into their life and forgive their sin. And the moment they do, they will understand that Your Spirit will bear witness with their spirit that they are children of God and justified by faith freely. Depart us now with Your blessing. Bring us to our various homes in safety, we pray. We ask these things and give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.